Welcome to the European CME Forum podcast. European CME Forum is a not-for-profit organization that promotes multi-channel discussion on matters relating to European and global CME CPD. My name is Eugene Pozniak. I'm the Program Director of European CME Forum. In this episode, I'm joined by Ron Murray, an independent CME CPD consultant and author of the upcoming Jack Me article on the 15th annual European CME Forum from last year. The focus of today's episode is the 16th annual European CME Forum, which is being held in The Hague this November. So, hello, Ron. It's great to see you again. How have you been?
I'm doing well, Eugene. Kind of tied up with midweek and weekends watching the Rugby World Cup at the moment, which probably you might be involved in too. I'm not sure.
Oh, no, it's absolutely exciting watching all these teams battle it out in the group stages. Lots of enjoyment for us.
I actually was in Paris the night of the very first match, not at the match, and the atmosphere was absolutely incredible just around the city. Yeah,
amazing.
Yeah, it's good stuff. Yeah. So we're going to be talking about another city, not Paris this time, but on the European continent.
Indeed, yes. Yeah. And the 16th annual European CME Forum will be taking place 8th to the 10th of November 2023, so just in a few weeks' time. And we've chosen The Hague. It's about the same distance as to downtown Amsterdam from Schiphol Airport. So do the usual, fly into Schiphol Airport, go downstairs to the train station, take the train to The Hague, and it's about half an hour away.
Yeah, and I've actually been looking at the details of travel there, and it's dead easy. And there's a couple of options too from getting from Schiphol. You can go into the central station in The Hague, or you can go to one of the ones just before there, and it's like a 10-minute walk. Yeah. Yeah, so, well, and of course, the other thing to mention to folks is that it is in the Netherlands and not Holland. Holland is just a particular area of the Netherlands.
Indeed, yes. Yeah. We've got our own conference space, lots of space to meet, to break out, to exhibit, to network. And that's a major consideration we have when we choose venues for CME forums and really get to the nub of all these challenges we're facing.
Right. And then over the last few years, you've arranged the forum based on a theme or themes. So I think it might be useful just to kind of highlight what the theme is going to be for number 16.
Sure. Yeah. So in brief, it's voices. Each year for the Journal of CME, we run a special collection. And this year we talked about doing this, this year's collection is expanding the voices in CME CPD. So just what other sources of inspiration, learners, data sources, can we include in CME? It's very broad ranging. We will come back to talking about special collection anyway, but it's really on the back of that. We're thinking, well, let's talk about voices. If we talk about the special collection where we've got sort of non-traditional voices, but we've structured the meeting into three major parts. One is listening to others, so these external voices, then listening to ourselves, really looking at our own stakeholder groups, just looking at sort of the design and implementation of programs, looking at our audience, how do we measure and report outcomes. So sort of our bread and butter of the CME enterprise as far as our community is concerned. Then we have a section on listening to each other. So the idea is that that we're now looking outside of our traditional stakeholder groups and actually listen to each other. What are the objectives or the challenges our counterparts are finding in the other stakeholder groups? So these are the three main sections of 16 ECF this year.
And that fits nicely, I suppose, in the second part there you talked about is like listening to ourselves. And the whole concept of self-reflection is something that's coming up all the time now as being one of the main concepts in successful education. It's not just presenting the information, and then hoping it's going to stick and something will happen, but providing the opportunity for learners to have time for self-reflection on what they're trying to achieve.
Absolutely. Yeah, and actually we are moving away from sort of the traditional sort of curriculum approach to CME and the meeting. And what we're finding, especially experiences from the pandemic, is that, you know, learners are changing the way they're interacting with medical education. We as providers of education need to keep up with them, really keep them interested. We've seen over the past couple of years that the number of credits they're claiming is reducing. But the thirst for education is there, or the need for education is there, and they're engaging more than ever. So what is it that they're looking for? We know that they value independent medical education. Actually, we'll be presenting some survey results. Actually, one of the companies, EPG, actually does an annual survey or biannual survey that they'll be launching at the meeting, where they actually look at sources of education by healthcare professionals and what they consider to be useful, high quality, etc. And seeing the first results from that, it's clear that healthcare professionals value independent education. So that's an interesting point there. And then for ourselves as well, we'll have sessions on PI and QI. So AxDev will be running a workshop for us on PI QI, DKB Med from the mostly US led Cleveland Clinic. Yeah. We'll all be talking about how to design education really that looks in some way at the quality factors of medical education and performance improvements as well.
I think that's going to be interesting. I was involved in some of that sort of stuff when I worked in the USA. And I know it's been on the agenda for many folks for a long time, although the uptake in terms of the education that includes PI, where we are actually performance improvement, where you're actually doing some very specific audits of performance, if you like, of the healthcare professionals, and then targeting very, very directly to gaps, if you like, that have been found, but it's specific gaps to their actual practice. So it's going to be interesting to see how that's moved on.
Yeah,
because I know that it was something that was there and credit was available, and yet the uptake wasn't necessarily there to the extent that people hoped for.
Sure. Yeah, and it seemed like it was quite an academic approach to that. And of course, it was led in the US, where there is access to patient level data, which we just don't have in Europe or anywhere else around the world. It doesn't exist. But I think, as you say, in the US, it didn't actually take off in that huge way that was expected. So the providers in the US and also the supporters acknowledge this and are looking at other ways, maybe surrogate markers for performance, just more imaginative ways, as you're saying, sort of to identify some kind of specific practice gap or some performance shortfall in some way, to see how the education providers address this. And there's some really lovely innovative examples that we're going to see this year, and it's the kind of thing that we in Europe now can see. Okay, we don't have access to patient level data or performance level data of the healthcare professionals, but there are some really neat ways of actually looking at some kind of problem, let's say, that needs fixing in CME, and just to think outside the box. And we see this both sides, the providers as well as the pharma supporters are liking this. So I'm certainly looking forward to learning more about how different companies and organizations have met these challenges.
I will too. That's something that's definitely of interest. So you said about the survey there. So is there anything else that's coming up from your annual survey that, we can look forward to that's going to be addressed because of the topics that people have said they want to see addressed?
Sure. Yeah, and a lot of the results that we're getting back so far is sort of that usual thing, which does drive our agenda, which is looking at how to do CME, how to do medical education better. You know, what are the skills, the competencies required as providers, as accreditors, as medical societies, as pharma, you know, to improve the quality of the education in general. But there is a surprising outlier, though, this year. What has literally shot to the very top as the number one concern of everyone is actually the lack of recognition of CME across borders.
Yeah, I've seen it mentioned before as something that people have, you know, discussed, and it just fit in with things that have come up before, like, you know, the International Academy for the Accreditation Group, you know, who've talked about substantial equivalency. And I know there is some reciprocity of credit between the AMA and the EACCME. So, yeah, I think that obviously has struck a chord with people. So it'll be interesting to see how it's addressed.
Yeah. Now, and I think there are a couple of things that have happened this year in the European CME environment, which I think is getting people to think about this more. So, you know, as providers, we're seeing that the number of credits that are being claimed by our learners is on the decrease. Yep. However, the need for independent medical education is on the increase, let's say. But there have been some challenges around the compliance side of things. So, you know, this year we've had the launch of IACME 3.0, the new accreditation standards, which were implemented in June of this year. So, of course, we're going to be talking about that this year. But with that, we've recorded a webinar as the Good CME Practice Group that was launched recently, just talking about, you know, it's great that IACME is looking at improving the side of independence and quality, but it doesn't encompass the kind of wording that pharma companies are using or providers are using. Yeah. And there are some sort of shortfalls there. It doesn't help when it comes to the internationalization of CME. And also,
I did attend that webinar. I tuned into it and I actually submitted a question on that very thing, whether it was going to be coming up at the forum and whether IACME would be involved there too to maybe answer some of these questions.
They will be. IACME actually will be at the meeting. Excellent. So we're looking to actually create a session called Ask the Accreditor and just structure some kind of Q&A. So any of those questions that we couldn't answer during that webinar last week, we will put forward as well. Because also, you know, a lot of people had questions about, you know, that really the accreditor should be answering, not a small group of providers, because of course we're not the experts on the standards. So there are questions around that, and also just the global compliance. You know, the pharmaceutical industry has sorted itself out, really, you know, with the FPA Article 16, with the grant offices in the US actually working out how to fund different types of promotion, education, IME, CME, whatever it is. And we as providers have to work very strictly according to their accountancy practices. It's not pharma control. It's just how they claim to their own tax offices or how they follow the budgets in their own organizations. So we've seen that happen. But for us to implement it on an international level, we do need the regulators, the accreditors, and the providers themselves to be aware of these and work according to their standards. So we'll do a bit of a dive into that during 16 ECF as well.
So that you mentioned some of the situations in the US and trying to cross borders and so on. So who really would you think would be the appropriate people to be attending the European CME Forum? And I know you're going to say everybody, but, you know, narrow it down a little bit.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, it's anyone with an interest in sort of European and global CME CPD. So because we'll be looking at sort of best practices that can be implemented. So it's not that high academic level. We are very focused on the practical applications of CME. You know, for many times we say really the objective of the meeting is for the participants to feel to be that they are competent to implement something new in their practice the next time they go into the office. You know, this isn't, we're not blue sky thinking about what's going to happen in 5 years' time. It really is looking at the situation today to better understand it and to gain the skills to do something differently. So, and we're very fortunate, really, with the meeting. We do get a good spread of delegates from our sort of four core stakeholder groups, from the accreditors and the regulators, from medical societies, from pharma and the professional providers. So, and it's not just one-way discussion. We're not turning up to attend class. The meeting is deliberately structured to be collaborative and discussion-based. There are very, very few presentations. People, experts are invited to put forward topics and to answer questions and to moderate discussions or to be part of a conversation about it. But it really is structured in a way that whoever turns up really has their CME question answered. And if it's not in the program, there will certainly be an opportunity during the meeting to actually either pose the question or grab the relevant expert the opportunities during networking sessions to actually have conversations with the relevant people.
Well, I have attended quite a few of them now, and the idea that people can interact with folks that they might not necessarily deal with on their day-to-day work, I think is one of the wonderful benefits of the forum and bringing the folks together. And really, in a way where it's easy for folk to put their points of view across and be listened to and ask questions, not just being lectured at. And I think that's one of the key things there, that it is much more interactive than many, many meetings that I have attended, and I'm sure you have attended, where you're kind of there passively. The interaction, I think, is one of the key things that makes this so worthwhile.
Yeah, thank you, Ron. Yeah, that is the objective of the meeting. And it's been reflected in sort of the groups that have come out from the European CME forums over the year, where we'll have people from single stakeholder groups actually collaborating with each other. So, you know, right from the beginning, when providers, we've always had a challenge with med comms agencies. And this is one of the problems with EACME 3.0. They keep talking about med comms agencies, who are agencies of the pharmaceutical industry. There is nothing independent about them. They can never be independent, and they must not be involved in CME at all. But this was a challenge literally 15 years ago, 16 years ago. It wasn't actually a med comms agency. It was a PR agency in London that ended up getting a grant from a major drug company to develop a pan-European a CME activity. And they didn't know how to do it. It ended up being promotional. The company, the supporting company, got into a lot of trouble. The agency themselves, actually, they didn't get into trouble. They just weren't allowed to do any more CME after that. But hey, who cares? They're a PR agency in London, not involved in CME in the first place. Yeah. And the accreditor was really cross. But the provider community was under huge scrutiny then. And it was at that time that a group of providers got together and said, we are not med comms agencies. We don't do promotion on behalf of drug company clients. We're not a PR agency. We're not an advertising agency. We're certainly not med comms. And so we created the Good CME Practice Group. And to actually have a flavor of the providers, we have some medical societies in there, as well as PCOs, you know, professional congress organizers. But most of the group are professional education providers getting together, comparing notes, and coming out with a joint statement. But we've seen it also with the pharmaceutical industry. We had individuals from various pharma companies attending the meeting over the years. We've seen the creation of the International Pharmaceutical Alliance for CME, IPACME. They've published in JECME, whether as small groups, European groups, or as IPACME itself. Very influential group now and a unified voice. And in reflection with this, also the International Academy for CPD accreditation, as you've mentioned. The International Academy is, you know, a group of accreditors around the world who've presented at CME forums over the years. They will be there again this year. And actually, an exciting development from 15 ECF. You know, last year in that final Q&A that we had, Joël Grenier, the Secretary General of YACMI, was there, and he said that UEMS has decided that it can no longer be an island. I think it's a direct quote from what he said, and that they would be open to working with other parties. And they have discussed, and they've joined now in with the International Academy. And they were there at the Cologne Consensus Conference a few weeks ago at the annual meeting of the International Academy. And it's great to see the accreditors now all getting together to agree standards. And and all these topics we'll cover in 16 ECF.
And I really think this is part of the benefit and the uniqueness of the European CME Forum is this whole idea of collaboration and transparency. And one of the things that's happened over the last couple of years, you may want to say a little bit more about this, is the pre-meeting workshops, which have been opened up to not just the people in the groups themselves. And I see from looking at the agenda for the 8th of November that you've actually got a number of these meetings, the groups opening up their pre-meeting workshops to everyone. I think that's wonderful. Maybe you want to say a wee bit more about who's doing what there.
Sure. And over the years, we used to call them the day zero meetings, our private meetings for participants from those specific stakeholder groups. But as you said, during the pandemic, this started to be opened up, and every group said, actually, yeah, let's present our point of view to the participants. And it's a great warm up for the meeting itself. So that, yeah, in the meeting, we're all mixed up and collaborating. But in these pre-meeting workshops, they're like 45 minutes each. So the Good CME Practice group will run a session there. They've been working on some developments there that they'd like to present to the room and share their thoughts to get input from there. The IPACMI group will be representing the side from Pharma. Again, Pharma has a number of challenges, and to hear directly from them what they're going through will be fascinating. And the medical societies, actually, this is our fourth sort of stakeholder group, but the Biomed Alliance in Europe, which is a collection of the leading medical society, actually, and AC Forum as well. AC Forum looks more on after some more the Congress side of things. Biomed Alliance looks after, I think they lobby the European Commission more, and they look at approach to medicine. And they're coming together to present their perspective as medical societies in the CME world and the kind of objectives and challenges they're facing when it comes to CME at the moment.
I think the idea is one that I'm glad it started, and I'm glad it's continuing, because it's always seemed to me that the idea of, you know, the silo mentality that unfortunately has been in place for a while, it just has to change so that we can collaborate and work together, because the aim and the goal is the same for everyone, really. So yeah, that's great that's happening. What about the other kind of collaborations that the forum has now? You mentioned there the Good CME Practice Group, and I know if you go to the CME Forum website, you'll get a link to them. You've also mentioned the journal, and you've mentioned it simply with its acronym of JECME. But of course, we now know that this year it has changed its name. It used to be the Journal of European CME, and it's now just the Journal of CME, which I think, in many ways, I've talked to people about this, and they said, "You mean there wasn't a Journal of CME before?"
Yeah, that was really surprising. And when we first set it up about 12 years ago now, the whole objective was to get people in Europe to share their experiences, approach CME with some kind of academic rigor. So to publish anything from research articles to short opinions, letters to the editor, let's say, but just to talk openly about CME. We didn't have that channel in Europe. But over the years, yeah, it was a couple of years ago, we turned around and said, more than half the papers come from outside of Europe. This is really a global initiative. And we, as a board, we agreed to drop the word European from the title. And it just sends out the right message. This is really a journal. It's meant to be a practical journal. It sits maybe with a slightly lower academic side than JSEP in the US, which is seen as that sort of the academic journal of our industry. But it sits above sort of the magazines and the blogs, right, on websites, etc. So it's a peer-reviewed, open access, PubMed index journal. So it's a serious academic journal. But because it's open access, it means we can publish things faster, and it's a volume per year. So as and when articles are submitted, we can review them, and if they're accepted, they can be published.
Well, as a contributor myself, I would urge folks around the world to have a look and then see if there's stuff that they've been doing that they're involved in that would be worthy of sharing. As you said, it doesn't have to be kind of, you know, some sort of empirical research article. It can be sort of commentary or, you know, discussion, or what I put in sort of reports on meetings, you know.
That's it. And being open access, people can go there. It's a huge resource of peer-reviewed information, data, experiences. And it's just so valuable. There's so many organizations I speak to who are looking for inspiration for their own activities. And I just say, well, just go to the journal. You have some fantastic descriptions there. And also some of the challenges that we discussed before about, you know, performance improvement or measuring outcomes, etc. You've got real life examples there of how good organizations have actually looked at their education activities and improved their quality.
Right. And you mentioned it as a resource, and perhaps it's also good to mention that the European CME Forum is a resource in its own right in terms of the information available on the website and the tracking of the content of the meetings going right back to the very first one and other resources there. So perhaps, you know, you can just plug that a little bit for folks to consider.
Yeah, no, and of course, with modern website now, you have to be registered to the website. So you just username, password kind of thing. And you can access, as you say, every presentation and a report from each meeting is accessible from the website. I don't know, it's hundreds of hours worth of content. And in recent years, actually, we've started also posting recordings from the meetings, but actually that is closed to just registered participants of that meeting. But yeah, cmeforum.org, that's the place, that's the hub to go to. It is the richest resource of information about CME, probably outside of North America, but certainly in Europe.
Excellent. So, and, you know, going back to this idea of the different groups collaborating in there, you've mentioned a little bit about the special collections in the journal, which have been presented at the forum too. So perhaps it might be useful to give people an idea of what's been going on over this year for 2023 and how that will be sort of presented.
Sure, yeah. So this year's special collection is on expanding the voices in CME CPD. Lisa Sullivan from Australia is the guest editor of this. She pulled together a very rich committee to support her with this. They've received a number of papers. They're going to start being published at the end of this month, October, so in time for the meeting itself. So they will be online very soon. It's worth visiting the journal for keeping an eye on that. And yeah, each year, actually, we ask the guest editors to run the opening session of the CME Forum. And this year, Lisa and a couple of her board will run a session specifically on expanding the voices and inviting a couple of the authors to actually share their work and do a deeper dive. So I don't want to give too much away.
Okay, I understand. Yeah.
But there is anyone for many years now of CME Forum, the brief that they have, the leaders of the session, is to make this session as interactive as possible so that people talk to their neighbors, so that everyone on the tables, we have our cabaret style set up. You work in collaboration in some way in the table, so that by the time we break for that first break, you already have seven friends that you can talk to. You know their names, you know where they've come from, within the context of the session. So this is Lisa's challenge for this year. But just looking at expanding the voices. So Lisa is certainly planning a session on just helping us to think outside the box. You know, who should we be listening to? Where should we be looking? What are the non-traditional aspects of CME that can help inform our traditional CME activities as well? Yeah, so there's certainly not a one-size-fits-all. So I'm really looking forward to working with Lisa on this and seeing what she presents at this opening session.
Well, in terms of, a teaser again, so are you going to have the big fuzzy cuboid microphone to throw around this year as well?
We have, yes. Yeah, because that's something, even from the very first meeting, we did have standing microphones. And we've got rid of them. We got rid of them 15 years ago, whatever it is, because sometimes there's nothing more scary than asking a question at a meeting. Reduce the adrenaline levels a bit and increase the equity in the room. So you're mentioning these squidgy microphones that we can throw around so people don't need to get up from their own tables to actually ask questions.
But yeah, I know what you mean. And I think, I found it myself, going up to stand in front of a microphone in a room full of people when you're the one everyone's focused on, it can be a wee bit daunting. Whereas if you're sitting in a group and you've interacted with that group, it's maybe not quite so difficult to just ask your question sitting down and in a relaxed situation. Excellent. All right, good.
Yeah. And actually, just expanding on that a little bit, while a lot of the things we're talking about is that sort of the high level strategic aspects of CME, but the meeting is very suitable for the newcomers to CME as well. So about a third of the participants are either first time attendees or newcomers to CME, and there are a few actual organizations that are treating it as a time to get the team together, like a company meeting, to actually align their own sort of CME strategies within the context of a CME forum meeting. And so because you have people of different levels, different experiences coming together. So we really want to encourage this sort of equitable inclusion of the newcomers to CME as well.
So, and so there's opportunities for networking throughout the meeting as well as, at the end of the day and so on. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good. Right. So any ideas what the special collection will be next year?
Well, there is a chat among the board members. Yeah, there will be a JECME. The annual board meeting will take place on Thursday evening, where we'll discuss it, vote on it, nominate the guest editor for next year.
But, and that normally kind of opens up to submissions early in the year and it closes off like, what, July or August or something like that?
Yeah, that's right. And what we've learned over the past couple of years is to open the submissions as early as possible. Right. So we'll be announcing it on the Friday morning and opening the submission before the end of the year, certainly. So at least people can start thinking about it. But it'll be based something to do with the practice of CME, IME, anything related, not just in Europe, but anywhere around the world where people can share best practice and their experiences.
And, well, it maybe begs the question, now that we've changed the name of the journal and dropped European, maybe the forum might want to be a global forum at some point down the road too. I'm throwing that out kind of tongue-in-cheek a little bit, yeah.
Yeah. No, and we do, we have all these conversations very regularly, but actually, no, with European CME Forum, we say that it's European and global education because the word global really comes from the US vocabulary. Because the US is such a huge market area, influential in medicine, etc. So it does seem to be sort of either the US or outside of the US. So right. The Americans do use the term global, but the first step for them is Europe. And for us, really, Europe is the entity that we're interested in. And actually, yeah, we'll keep it European because people around the world either look at the US or Europe or both. They see things separately. Yeah. So I think we really do want our European flavor and focus to be there, because we'll also be talking about developments on a national level, and we want to have that link with the national implementation, because of course when learners are collecting their CME points, when they're engaging with their CME education, they're doing so under the requirements of their licensing body nationally, or when they're learning about new medical techniques or whatever, it's within the national frameworks of their health services. And same with the pharmaceutical industry. You know, the implementation of the standards is on a national level. So, it's really important for us to maintain that European flavor and that links with the national systems.
But nevertheless, you do want to encourage people from around the world to attend. And perhaps it might be useful to highlight that there probably are some kind of incentives for people to attend in terms of the cost and the registration procedure.
Yeah, that's true. Actually, yeah, from middle-income countries, lower-income countries get a heavily reduced rate. And of course, anyone from Ukraine gets complimentary registration still. And and if there are any special cases, get in touch with us. And, we want to support as many voices as possible to come to the meeting.
And the details are on the website, yeah?
They are, yes.
Yeah, I have to say I'm looking forward to it and seeing some folks again that we see there and some that don't come necessarily every year, but I think it's going to be a good meeting. It's always a good meeting, and the nice thing about it raises points for discussion, which then can carry on in other situations, like what you've been doing with the Good CME Practice Group, and you've been putting out periodic webinars to kind of look a bit further into topics that have come up at the meeting, at the European CME Forum. And I suspect that there's going to be discussion arising from this year as well that will be covered in the year to come. So is there anything that you feel that people need to really think carefully about that's going to be in there that's like a big issue?
Well, I think it is answering the question, what is driving CME standards in Europe? What is best practice? Who is involved? Who should be involved? And what does good quality look like? Especially when it comes to educational design, and also its relevance, its relevance to clinical practice, the role and the allowable influence of pharma, when industry is supporting education, how closely can they be involved in education? This really needs to be discussed and clarified across Europe. IACME 3.0, of course, is still a hot topic. And as I mentioned earlier, how CME is recognized across borders. And we're not talking about the credit here. We're talking about just its utility, what it means. Is there a standard vocabulary so that CME in one country is roughly the same as in another country? At the moment, it varies a lot. And this causes problems when it comes to sort of the internationalization of CME, especially when it comes to who actually controls it. I appreciate the accreditors worry about bad actors and this concept of charlatanism, but the way that CME Forum is going and the conversations we have, it really feels like we have our house. We should get it into order, because something we won't be covering in 16 ECF too much, but we need to be mindful of, is the Elon Musks of the world. Are they going to be involved? AI is going to have a huge influence over the design and delivery of medical education, or medical education, not just CME, getting big data involved, and the way the private investment will be put into CME. So I think this is maybe the big issue in preparation for the next big issue over the horizon.
I think that's exciting. So presumably your survey is still available for people to put their points of view in there and the topics that will be of interest to them. And is let me just throw that out there. Is there not like a little discount for filling out the survey?
There is. Yeah, definitely. If you're looking to register for the meeting, do the survey. There's a 10% code at the end. This is still running now. And the survey will continue even to about 2 days before the meeting. We'll gather the information and report back to the room and do some comparisons over previous years as well and pull out anything that's interesting. We're still looking, I think, for a couple of speakers who are relevant. We'll be able to fill them. We'll have a discussion period right. about it. But still in the survey, we're paying attention, taking a look at that. So please add your voice, certainly, if you're working in any part of the CME enterprise anywhere in the world. And if you're looking to register, do make sure to add your voice to the survey so that you can get the discount.
Well, I think I sort of exhausted the areas of questions that I wanted to put to you, unless there's anything else you'd like to talk about?
No, other than go to cmeforum.org, and at the bottom you can sign up to our database. You can choose what you want to stay up to date with, whether it's CME Forum, JECME notifications, Good CME Practice Group, and we don't bombard you with emails. We send out regular posts to our database to keep people up to date. We'll be updating the resources section on the CME Forum website to make it sort of more useful, and we'll share as much as possible about 16 ECF before the meeting and after the meeting. So if people aren't available to actually turn up, you get a good flavor of certainly the topics that will be discussed, and hopefully with the report afterwards, Ron, there'll also be the actual details of the meeting that take place. If
exactly,
we can ask you to do that again for us this year.
I'd be happy to. And I would encourage folk listening to this to actually share that information with their colleagues and anyone that they think, you know, if they cannot attend themselves, folks that they think might be appropriate for. And you know, they're, as you say, you get new people coming every year, which is great. And then you get the stalwarts who are there every year. And I think it makes for a nice mix. And I don't think there's anyone who's new to it who attends that will feel that this wasn't for me. There's something for everybody in it. Absolutely.
Yes. No. That's and if we don't, then please let us know, because that is our objective with this meeting.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, will that do us for today?
I think so. I think we've exhausted absolutely everything, Ron. Thanks very much for your time today. It's really great to catch up.
All right.
And we'll be in touch. And I look forward to seeing you in person again in The Hague at the beginning of November.
And go Scotland against Ireland.
Good luck. All right. Take care, Ron. See
Thanks.
You.
Bye.
Cheers. Bye-bye. That was Ron Murray, independent CME CPD consultant, joining me to discuss the upcoming 16th annual European CME Forum. You can register now for the 16th annual meeting, and if you complete the annual CME survey before November, you'll receive a 10% discount. Please note that the call for abstract submissions for posters, oral presentations, and workshops are now closed. Registering for the 16th annual meeting will give you access to the complete archive of the 15th annual European CME Forum, consisting of all the plenary sessions with over 14 hours of CME CPD content from a faculty of 40 experts in European and global CME CPD. More information about the upcoming 16th annual European CME Forum and this year's JECME special collection can be found on our website, cmeforum.org. Thank you for listening, and join us for more episodes as we explore all things CME CPD.